John 9:13-23, the Pharisees interrogate the blind man. As we prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today, I want to share again about humility. Our heart attitude determines our ability to hear and understand what God is saying to us. In the last section, I quoted 1 Peter 5:5, which says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to us when we are humble. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 explains a major principle of how God works. It says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And then in verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. God chooses to weak through weak, lowly, and foolish things so that no one can boast before him. God hates pride and boasting. Having a humble heart is a major key to receiving revelation from God. Let's pray. Father, I confess that sometimes pride and boasting enter my heart. Forgive me and cleanse me from all pride, boasting, and self-exaltation. May you alone be honored and exalted. May we always have a humble heart before you. Open our hearts and minds today to receive your words. And may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. And now we'll begin with verse 13. The Pharisees interrogate the blind man. They brought him who had been blind to the Pharisees. It was the Sabbath when Jesus made mud and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, I washed, and I see. This was the third time in the story that describes how Jesus put mud on the blind man's eyes, and then he could see after washing off the mud. Let's read verses 16 and 17. Some, therefore, of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? There was a division among them. Therefore, they asked the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Pharisees said that Jesus was not from God because he had healed on the Sabbath. The weaknesses of their argument became clear when some people asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? The Pharisees had to do a lot of intellectual gyrating to explain how a sinner, not from God, could heal a man who was blind. The reasoning of the Pharisees was illogical. They could not deny that Jesus had healed this man, but asserted that Jesus could not be from God because he healed on the Sabbath day. Anything that did not fit their way of thinking had to be wrong. It was outside of their theological box. Does this sound familiar? We do the same thing today with our theological beliefs and political positions. If people don't agree with us, we conclude that they're nuts, crazy, immoral, stupid, hard-hearted, apostate, and going to hell. May be saying a little bit strongly, but I think the logic of the Pharisees is sometimes alive in us today. The blind man who could now see did not give in to the Pharisees' pressure. When they asked him what he thought about Jesus, he was not intimidated by them, but replied without hesitation, he is a prophet. In this story, we see the fear and uncertainty of many people and the disbelief of the Pharisees. We also observe the development of faith in the blind man as he comes to understand who Jesus is. At first, he understood only that Jesus had healed him. Even though the Pharisees were accusing and attacking Jesus, he then came to believe that Jesus is a prophet. Let's read beginning at verse 18. The Jews therefore didn't believe concerning him that he had been blind and had received his sight. until they called the parents of him who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he see?" The Jews did not believe that this man had been born blind, but could now see. They did not want to believe, so they decided to attack his parents. They were trying to find ways to cast doubt on the man's testimony, so they confronted his parents. They demanded that his parents explain how, although he was born blind, could he now see? Their questioning was an obvious attempt by the Pharisees to discredit the man's testimony. If they could have gotten the parents to say that the man was not their son or that he was not really blind, then they could have said the healing was a fake. They asked, "Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he now sees?" They were pressuring his parents and trying to say, "Stop lying and tell us the truth." Verse 20, his parents answered them, "We know that that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but now he sees. How he sees, we don't know. Or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age to ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if any man would confess him as Christ, they would put him out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." His parents answered their questions and were very careful in their answers because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already let it be known that if anyone said Jesus was the Messiah, they would be put out of the synagogue. The parents told the Pharisees, "He is old enough, ask him." They were afraid of what the Jewish leaders might do. Satan always tries to impede and rob people of faith by creating fear. Fear is a major obstacle to faith. When people are considering believing in Jesus, they worry about what people think, how their friends and family will respond, etc. Often fear keeps them from believing in Jesus. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare." Many people are controlled by the fear of man. Many of the people in the crowd and even the blind man's parents were afraid to say anything about Jesus because they were afraid. People who are controlled by the fear of man will always be weak and unable to make important decisions in their lives. They will be unable to trust Jesus and follow him. Fear motivated some of the people to remain silent and not to acknowledge Christ. The Pharisees and other religious leaders, on the other hand, were motivated by pride. Pride kept them from seeing the truth and from believing. I refer to 1 Corinthians 1:27-29 in the introduction. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. The blind man was a beggar. He was uneducated and illiterate. He was a nobody to most people. He was weak, lonely, and perhaps despised. These are qualifications for those God chooses to use. God chooses people like the blind man to put to shame people in the world who think they are wise and powerful, like the Pharisees. Also, Jesus spit on the ground, made clay from dust and saliva. Then he anointed the sightless man, eyes of the blind man. Does that offend you? Does it seem inadequate or even foolish, spit and mud? Why did Jesus choose to use spit and mud to heal the blind man? God uses things that seem to be weak and foolish, so that foolish to the world, so that no one can boast before him. The Pharisees could not see and could not understand because they were proud and boastful. Pride and boasting kept them from acknowledging the miracle, and it kept them from honoring Jesus. the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you use weak things and things that seem foolish to the world to reveal yourself to us. You resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. Give us a heart to see and understand when you are working through things that seem weak or foolish. Give us a humble heart that can continually receive your grace and mercy. Amen.